May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the Lion, the Lamb, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please pray with me as we hear the Word of God today. Continue to hear the Word of God, we pray. Lord, Your Word is a lamp for our feet. It's a light for our path. Your Word is our life, our salvation, our hope, our joy, our peace. Cause that Holy Word this day, Lord, to shine brightly upon us, to give us faith, understanding, insight. Bless Your Word as it's preached today and heard today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say,
rejoice.
That was kind of weak. I know we lost an hour of sleep. We're hour ahead of ourselves. It's actually just about, 10 o'clock now rather than 11 o'clock. We can do that again. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say,
rejoice.
We are concluding, as Pastor mentioned in the children's message, a very special week in our school called National Lutheran Schools Week. We had that this previous week. Lots of great activities in our school. We thank and praise God for First Lutheran School and for the over 1,000 Lutheran schools in America. And I believe there are over 1,300 preschools, Lutheran preschools in America, and many high schools and colleges and seminaries. How we thank God for Lutheran education, teaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we welcome the kids here today for our special service and all of the parents and grandparents. Welcome. Good to have you here today. I thought today, since we are ending National Lutheran Schools Week, I thought I'd talk a little bit about the theme of our school year this year. And kids, what is the theme of our school year? You should know right there. What's your name? Joy! There you go. Our theme is joy. J for Jesus, O for others, Y for you. When that's our life, when Jesus is our life first, others are second, and then you are third, then we end up having great joy in our hearts, a gift of the Holy Spirit. So I chose the verse from Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. I think that that's a great summary, really, of what we want to teach children in our school. And what I pray all parents and grandparents want to pass on to their kids. In the end, to summarize everything, why do we have First Lutheran School? And what's our purpose as teachers and parents, grandparents? We are here to teach our children to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Everybody in the world is looking for happiness. You ask people, what do you want in life? I want to be happy. I want to have joy. I want to be fulfilled. I want to have peace, hope. I want to have joy, happiness. And we teach here, and I pray that you teach in your home, where do you find real joy, happiness, peace, fulfillment? You find it in the Lord. So this means we have to avoid a few things. These are things we have to avoid. We dare not teach our children, since we rejoice in the Lord. We never want to teach our children by our words or by our actions, parents. We never want to teach them to rejoice in lots. What I mean is we never want to teach them to rejoice in having lots of stuff. You know, many, many people, especially here in America, they try to find their joy, their happiness in having lots of stuff. Their theme would be rejoice in having lots of stuff. Having the bigger house, the newer car, even in a bad economy, we want that stuff. Having new clothes, getting our children all the new technological gadgets that are out there. Get them their TV, has to be a flat screen too. Get them all that stuff, and they'll be happy. We dare not teach our kids to rejoice in lots of stuff. That may be the American way, that's not the Christian way. There's a story of a pastor who went to visit a member of his church who didn't go to church very often. They had strayed from God. And this particular member was a very rich farmer. He owned a lot of land, and he took the pastor out to a pasture of his land. And he said to the pastor, "Pastor, look in that direction. You see everything in that direction? I own everything in that direction. And look in that direction. I own everything you see in that direction. And look in that direction. I own everything you see in that direction. And look in that direction. I own everything you see in that direction. That direction, that direction, that direction, that direction. I own everything you see, Pastor. Very rich and arrogant man. And the pastor said to him, well, that's really nice. But what really counts is this. How much do you own in that direction? Do you have eternal life in heaven? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Do you have the forgiveness of your sins? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Is your name written in heaven by virtue of your baptism? Do you really have faith? You can own everything in all those directions. What counts is owning something in that direction. Property in the promised land through faith in Jesus. Let's never teach our children to rejoice in lots of stuff. Secondly, we got to avoid this. We never want to teach kids to rejoice in being lazy. Now, how many kids like to be lazy? Okay. At least they're honest kids. We teach that here too, don't we, Mr. Tessendorf? Be honest. But when you have, these two go hand in hand. When you have lots of stuff, normally you tend to be pretty lazy sometimes because you have lots of stuff to take care of. We never want to, again, by our words or by our actions, teach kids to rejoice in being lazy and just playing video games all day or watching TV all day, text messaging their friends all day and talking on the cell phone, running to the mall. All those things can be fine here or there. But not to find your happiness, your joy, your fulfillment in that. To rejoice in being lazy? Do we have recess in school still? Well, you have to knock off recess now, Mr. Tessendorf. And we won't do that. But how long is recess? I don't know, 15 minutes, maybe a half hour. Is it the whole day? Recess the whole day? No. Just a little break. And so we need a little break in life here or there, but we don't find our real happiness, our joy in laziness, watching TV and playing video games all the time. There was a family foundation here in America called the Henry Kaiser Family Foundation that did a study, and they estimate that a child ages 2 to 11, children ages 2 to 11, we have a lot of them here today, children ages 2 to 11 watch, by estimate, 20,000 television commercials per year. 20,000 TV commercials per year? I'm not a good mathematician, but I figure that's about 50 to 60 commercials a day your kid watches. 50 to 60 commercials a day? And that comes out to, I would say, 3, 4, 5 hours of watching TV a day to get 50, 60 commercials. We let the TV set teach our kids, the video game teach our kids. We don't want to rejoice in being lazy. And then another thing we got to avoid, teaching our children to rejoice in looking good. This is a big one here in America. Rejoice in your appearance. Find your happiness in your image, your appearance, looking good. Our society stresses looking good, your appearance, your image. We have to be very, very careful. We don't raise young girls to think, well, I'll be happy if I'm pretty. I'm worth something if I'm really pretty and I wear makeup and have my hair all done. Then I'm worth something. When I'm pretty, my appearance, my image. Then I'm worth something. Or the young boys, we dare not teach them, well, you are good. You're worth something if you're tough and you're strong and you're handsome and maybe you play football. Then you're worth something. Then you can be happy. When I was in high school, everybody had to wear Levi jeans. I don't know what the jeans are these days, but you had to have Levi jeans on if you were cool in high school. You had to have that little tag that says Levi's on the back pocket. You had to have that or you just weren't cool. Well, Levi jeans back when I grew up, they were about double the price of Wrangler jeans or any other off-brand jeans. So my mom didn't care if I went in Levi jeans. She worried about having 5 kids and the budget. So she just bought whatever jeans, and she'd tear off the little tag. So there wasn't Levi's tag or Wrangler tag or any other tag. She said, there's your jeans, wear them. Who cares what the kids think? Wear them, they're your jeans. I didn't win that fight with Mom either. I wore the uncool Wrangler jeans or whatever they were. But I think Mom was teaching me a lesson. What matters is not what's on the outside. What matters is what's on the inside. It's not Levi pants. What matters is love in the heart. It's not your cool image, kid. What matters is your identity as a baptized child of God that's forgiven. That's what matters. So we dare not teach by word or by example to rejoice in lots of stuff, or to rejoice in being lazy and doing nothing but watching TV, or to rejoice in looking good or better than the other kid. We rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. This means that as Christian teachers, as Christian parents and grandparents, this means that by word and by example, every day, 24/7, every day, we model for our kids, we teach our kids to find their joy, their happiness in the birth of Jesus. Christmas, glory to God in the highest, a Savior is born. To rejoice in that, not Santa Claus and all that nonsense, but rejoice in Jesus. To rejoice in the life of Jesus, His miracles, His teachings. You can't get enough of the Word of God. You can't get enough of talking about the miracles of the Lord. Do your kids see that in you? You just can't get enough of God's Word, enough of worshiping God, or is it something else? To rejoice in the death of Jesus, the cross, where He died for my sins, your sins, the sins of the whole world, to find the greatest joy that Jesus died for me. Jesus delivered me from sin, death, and hell. I'm a child of God because of Jesus Christ and His death. To rejoice in the resurrection, that Easter is coming, but Easter's not bunny rabbits and eggs. Easter is the resurrection of Christ. He conquered sin, death, and hell. And that is our joy. That's our hope and our peace. That's our foundation. To rejoice in the ascension of Christ, that now He sits at God's right hand. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. We find our joy in all of that. We rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. You know, I was given an article this week that talks about how good dogs are at teaching. How many of you have a dog? You know, your dogs are great teachers, I learned from this article. What can you learn from a dog? Here's what you can learn from a dog. If dogs were teachers, when a loved one comes home, always run to greet them. That's a good lesson from a dog. If dogs were teachers, we'd learn to allow the experience of fresh air and the wind in your face to be pure ecstasy. Yeah, that's a dog. Love the beautiful day today. If dogs were teachers, you'd learn, I like this one. If dogs were teachers, we'd all learn to take naps. Stretch before rising, run, romp, and play daily. We need to do more of that. Here's another good one for all of us people that get grumpy at times. If dogs were teachers, we learn to avoid biting when a simple growl will do. There you go. If dogs were teachers, you'd learn if what you want lies buried, keep digging until you find it. Perseverance from a dog. And here's a good one, final one. If dogs were teachers, you'd learn when someone is having a bad day, be silent, sit close by, and nuzzle them gently. Doggies are good teachers, huh? Maybe, I guess, dogs can't teach you the blood of Jesus Christ. Dogs can't teach the cross. Dogs can't teach the forgiveness of God. Dogs can't teach eternal life and the resurrection of the body. That's why we have First Lutheran school teachers and principals. That's why we have pastors. That's your job as parents also. Don't rely on your dog. We must teach the blood of Jesus. We must teach the forgiveness of sins. We must teach the cross and the resurrection. Thought to conclude, let me read some verses about God's love. And after each verse, I'm going to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And what's your part? Again, I say, I'm going to give you a little more than just rejoice. You're supposed to say, again, I say, rejoice. Can you get all that? Let's see. Psalm 103, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Next time you're going to stand up on this one, okay? Romans, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. Now listen to this. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners. While we were still sinners. Not because we did a bunch of good things. Not because we improved our lives. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Stand up. Again, I say rejoice. You got to sit back down. Now the chapel kids are used to this, right? Keep you awake and alive in chapel. All right. 1 John 4, about my favorite verse in the whole Bible. This is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Rejoice in the Lord always. Come on. Again, I say rejoice. All right, sit back down. How many more of these you want? Got a whole bunch of them. Pastor said 1 John. You did the next two, really. 1 John, very simple. God is love. And because of that, we rejoice in the Lord always. Come on. Again, I say rejoice. All right, sit back down. All right. John 3:16. Everybody, we'll say this together. Go ahead, stand up. All together. No, remain standing. I'm kidding. Say it with me. We spoke this verse 5 times this week, if not longer. We had chapel every day. And this is the purpose of our school. And I pray your purpose as a Christian parent to pass on this to your child, John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let's confess our faith. Turn to the back of your hymnal. The inside of the back of your hymnal is the Apostles' Creed. The inside of the back of your hymnal, a wonderful statement, summary of our faith as Christians. It goes all the way back to the Apostles, and we confess it with them and all the saints. Our belief in Father, Son, Holy Spirit, a God of love, a God we rejoice in today, the Apostles' Creed. Confess it with me boldly. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering.